Okay, so once a sociopathic pastor has created his substitute for genuine Christianity, he now must set about killing the conscience of the people in the church. And the first way to kill a conscience is to teach people to blindly follow rules. Blind obedience relieves people of the weighty task of making complex religious decisions. Remember, it's by blindly following orders that young soldiers massacre villages. It is also by blind obedience that law-abiding people collude against victims of church abuse, maintain shameful secrets, and even resist or oppose police investigations into complaints of abuse. And the next way to kill conscience is to turn other people into its. You have to depersonalize others, make them strangers, aliens, and foreigners to the people in your church. If any human being stops seeing any other human being as a real person and instead sees him or her as a depersonalized it, then a normally caring, compassionate person can be persuaded into ignoring or even committing wrongs against the blank face, the it. So to get people to stop directing care and concern outward, a sociopathic leader has to start depersonalizing large groups of people. And fortunately, a religion of externals helps. So let's pick an enemy that's easy to despise. Oh, the old one, gay people. The Bible says that homosexuality is a sign of being given over to a reprobate mind. So guess what? Gays cannot be saved. And if they cannot be saved, then there's no point in loving them. If God abandons them, you get to abandon them too. You can call them names. You can hold them up to shame. And when God ordains that the World Trade Center is destroyed and smoke is billowing out over the Pentagon, you've got yourself a license to blame the gays. Don't sorrowfully consider your own sin. Abandon all thoughts of repentance. There's no need. Just blame the gays. Why, that's biblical. And that, of course, would be the opinion of a sociopathic pastor. Now, let's see. Who else isn't really human? Oh, of course, all Muslim people. They sing and dance when Americans get killed. So, of course, we have no responsibility whatsoever in Christ to forgive them. We get to hate them as well. All of them. And of course, that is sarcastic. Hatred is never justified. And yet, in fundamentalism, it is certainly excused and often promoted. And after some of the preaching I've heard from fundamental pulpits on Muslims in this country, I fearfully and mournfully have prayed for the Muslim Americans, who I often have feared are very vulnerable to these rash and foolish and sociopathic and disobedient men who profess to be Christians. Now let's see, who else can we depersonalize? Oh, black people. They complain all the time, live on welfare, and they're just crooks. Democrats. They are pro-abortion and like gays. In fact, lots of them are gay. Victims of any disaster. God was judging them. Have you read about the sins rampant in their culture? They deserve to die. And the survivors deserve to suffer. If they'd had any sense, they would have gotten out of there. Drug addicts. They did it to themselves, so it's their fault. Now, of course, all of those depersonalized people are way out there. They're probably not in the church, regrettably. Remember, fundamentalism is a very segregated religion. So then the sociopathic pastor and that sociopathic mindset starts bringing the depersonalization in closer. When people in the church are in need or they're suffering and the sociopathic pastor doesn't want to help them because it's not in his best interest, then you start turning that depersonalization onto them. Why, that woman's husband beat her because she's not submissive enough. That guy deserves to be ignored by everybody because he acts queer. And that's how you begin to turn even people within the group who would stand against the pastor into strangers and outsiders, and the people in this in-crowd or who perceive themselves to be in the in-crowd begin to get the idea that they have a right to treat another person badly. Now, another way to kill conscience, destroy humility. Humility builds a greater capacity to love in the Christian, and love is the key component of conscience. And conscience is what keeps us from falling into blind slavery to our own passions and our prejudices. God is close to those who are of a contrite heart, and a sociopathic pastor cannot have that, so he's got to get rid of humility. And the way he does this is simply to give people back their own righteousness. That means you have to sanctify yourself by how you dress, by how hard you work for the church, by how much you tithe, by how many souls you bring in. Sanctification, godliness, holiness now becomes a competitive thing, and everybody's sort of working with each other, but also sort of working against each other. But this is what the sociopath needs, because now everybody's measuring their religion just like he measures his, and that will also destroy conscience. Let's face it, if compassion to an unlikable person is simply not on the schedule of ways to be right with God, then a lot of people are not going to be kind to unlikable people. And the Christian fundamentalist view of sanctification, whether a given church is sociopathic or not, is definitely, deeply, seriously flawed. Fundamentalism has really dropped the ball on sanctification, but I don't have time to cover that during this conference. Probably later in the podcast, Lord willing, I will. All right, and so that's how a conscience is killed in a sociopathic church. And what's next? What's next is that the sociopathic pastor starts preying upon his own people.